Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. Here it is once more and again. God has allowed us to gather together, one with another, to explore the Word of God, to learn about Him, and to be fed, to feed our spirit. As always, it's a privilege and an honor to come before you on Wednesday night for Wednesday Night Inspiration. I am Diane Adams, your host, and we will explore the Word of God together tonight. And at the end of the lesson, I pray that you have some more insight on what God has for you. As always, it's an honor, and I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your busy schedule week after week coming together. Remember, this is not Diane Bible study, but it is our Bible study, and we come back and we be on the line one with another week after week, and God calls that commitment, and God honors it. So we're going to go ahead with the program, and we're going to start by giving you the theme for tonight or the topic. And for those who are on my text list, you should have received the information. But the lesson tonight is the devil is a liar. And we are coming from 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the 4th through the 18th verse. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to do a prayer. You know, we always should go to the throne of grace to let God know that we are grateful and thankful for what He has done and doing in our lives and what He promised to do. To thank Him for allowing His Son to become ransom for us, for our sins. Thank Him for His Holy Spirit that He allows to be inside of us and to guide us and protect us and direct us in a way that God wants us to go. So as always, I ask if anyone would like to pray. And if you press the one button on your phone, I can open up the mic and you could pray through the airwaves. And since no one has pressed a button, I'm so pleased that Madison is with me tonight. And as always, he's always standing in the gap, willing, able, and ready to pray, to be thankful to God. He realized that, you know, that there should never be an opportunity that is given unto him to go to the throne of grace that he doesn't accept. And that's a blessing. So, you know, some people called me after last week's lesson, after hearing Madison pray, and they wanted to know that I shared a lesson with him before time, and I hadn't been doing that per se, but since he spent some more time with me this week, I did let him know what the title was of the lesson, and he was excited about knowing it. So I'm going to give the phone to Madison. He's going to lift us up in prayer, go before God in our behalf. And I asked him if he want to say something before he do, and he said he believed he would. So at this time, I'm giving the mic over to Madison Andrew Chambers. Pray for him. Receive him as he comes.
Okay, speaking on the lesson that the devil is a liar. Today at the store, my grandma and I was getting some Crayola markers for my project. And when we were in line, there was this man. He attempted to steal something like a castle burger, but he was caught. The reason why he tried that was because the devil tempted him and said, if you take it, you won't be caught and get away with it, and you'll have some extra to buy. But something else went wrong. He got caught. That's showing that the devil is a liar. Never believe him, because you never know what might happen. The consequences could have been worse. He could have went to jail, but he went easy off with just walking away from the store. Well, now let's open up with the throne of prayer. God, thank you for this Wednesday that people are able to call in and that they won't listen to the devil tonight about turning on the TV, go take on the bath, see what's happening outside, go party and leave the line open and just let them concentrate, be on the lesson, and do what they have to do while listening to the lesson. It is more being occupied on the lesson than the actual work, God. And please be with them while they're trying to listen to the lesson. Make sure they don't get harmed during the lesson, because that would be a shame. Because they took their time out to do things for you, like you take your time out to do things for them. Well, please be with them and open their ears wide enough that they could hear the lesson. And with the lesson, the devil is a liar. Teach them more things to know when the devil is trying to tempt them, and so you can use this lesson tonight to show other people that the devil is a liar, God. And people, please know that God is watching. He always knows we might do something bad, but you can also try not to do it. It's okay if you do it, because God knows when you're going to do it. But also have a mind that the devil is a liar. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Madison. That is so good. That is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the Bible tells us to train up a child in the way that we should go. And if he depart, he will return. I thank God for my grandson. And I thank God for allowing me to be able to impart some things of him into him. So right now, I'm going to play a song, and I know this song is appropriate because, and really listen to the song because it's right in tune with the lesson. And the title of the song is Don't Quit. So listen, be blessed, and it's going to usher you right into the lesson. I promise.
Listen. The economy's down. Prices seem so high. Seems like all I ever do is try and try, yeah. Trying to make ends meet. Trying to pull myself above so I can see. But every now and then it seems so helpless, hopeless. But I'm a living, breathing testimony of what God can do. If you hold long enough, he will see you through.
Come and
encourage you, whatever you do,
whatever you do,
just don't. Ah, check this out. I've got my own set of challenges, yeah. And my friendships sometimes they wear a little thin. I even began to wonder if my own family is out or in. Trying to make sense of my life. I'm trying to overcome all that's not right, yeah. But sometimes, you know, it seems so helpless. Oh, even when things don't go your way, you gotta hold on
Breakthrough, don't quit. You won thank you, Jesus, away from your promotion, don't quit. You won glory to God away from your next level, don't quit. You won bless your holy name away from God.
Yes, and that was Don't Quit by Smokey Knoll. They have a call up, and the caller number is 504-858-00. You press the one button is pressed. I don't know if you want to say something at this time or it's an error. So right now I'm opening a mic. Call of 504-858-00. Your mic is open at this time.
Exactly. She didn't write in.
And they dropped the call, so it must have been an error. And we're going to go into the lesson. Our lesson tonight is the title of the lesson, because I see that more people have called in, is The Devil is a Liar. We coming from 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the 4th through the 18th verse. Always I give a background, so I'm going to use the background tonight for Satan. I want you to know that people's beliefs concerning Satan range from a silly to an abstract. From a little red guy with horns who sat on the shoulders, urging you to sin, to an expression used to describe the personification of evil. The Bible, however, gives us a clear portrait of who Satan is and how he affects our lives. But simply, the Bible defines Satan as an angelical being who fell from his position in heaven due to sin and is now completely opposed to God, doing all that he can in his limited power to shorten, to cancel, and erase God's plan and his purpose. You see, Satan was created as a holy angel. And how you know this, Sister Diane? If we look at Isaiah, the 14th chapter and the 12th verse, Isaiah 14 and 12 says, and when you read it, you'll see that it says that Satan pre his fall name was Lucifer. Ezekiel in the Bible describes Satan as having been created as an angel. Apparently the highest created angel. But he became arrogant in his own beauty and stature and decided that he wanted to sit on a throne above that of God. Now, look how silly this is. He got arrogant because he was so beautiful, not realizing that he didn't make himself, and neither do we. And, you know, when we really realize that's how we can give God the glory for who we are and what we have become. But you see, Satan's pride led him to his fall. Then if we look at Proverbs 16 and 18 says, pride goes before destruction and a naughty spirit before a fall. You need to keep this in mind because pride will, not sometime, not maybe, not if. If you have a prideful spirit, you will fall. That's the word of God in Proverbs 16 and 18. You see, because of his sin, God permanently removed Satan from his exalted position and role. Do you know God has some position for us and we get sometimes in position, but the way we handle the position or the role that we played, we could be removed? You see, be careful, because pride is an enemy of God. You see, Satan became the ruler of this world and the prince of power of the air. You know, every time I tell that to some people who's not familiar with it, they say, oh, no, Sister Diane, Satan don't rule the world. What about God? You know, and Satan don't have, you know, no power. You think Satan ain't got power? Cut your TV on. But like I said, limit it. You know, when God created, he created everything, and some people have a problem with this. God created good and evil. And you say, well, why would he create evil? How could you choose God good if you didn't have nothing to choose from? God made us free moral agents to give us our own will to choose or not to choose. God said if he made us everybody choose him, we would be robots. And how could he get a glimpse and insight on his creation if he made it one way? You see, Satan is the ruler of this world and the prince of the power of the air. And I have some scriptures for you. If you go to John, not now, but John 12 and 31, and then 2 Corinthians, which is a part of our lesson tonight, 4 and 4, Ephesians 2 and 2, it explains and break that down that Satan has his time right now. You see, Revelation said that he's an accuser, a tempter, and a deceiver. His very name means adversity, or one who opposes. Another one of his titles, the devil, means slander. So he have titles, you know, he have some power, He's real. He's still trying to defeat God, but he must be retarded because the word of God tells us that we have the victory. When Jesus went in the grave and when he rose, he had all power in his hand, and we have the victory. You see, the phrase God of this world or God of this age indicate that Satan is the major influence on the ideas, opinions, goals, hopes, and view of the majority of the people. Can you see that? Can you believe that? His influence also encompassed the world philosophy, education, and commerce. There's so much greed, killing, lying, cheating, and everybody seemed to be all right with it. They could put anything on a TV, 5 o'clock in the evening. Nobody cared. Nobody's tooting no horn, and nobody's saying anything. The thoughts, ideas, and the speculations of cults. You know, I was looking at TV the other night, and they had a cult I ain't even know nothing about. These people go in this tent, and they burn the rocks, and, you know, it makes them sweat, and the leader of this thing who say he's God is telling them that's how they could get closer to them. But you see, the deal went down. You see, the devil is a liar. And he had lied to these people that this is a good thing. But lo and behold, some of them died in there. Come on now. And these was intelligent people. Doctors, lawyers, and all alike. It wasn't, you know, just as some people say, uneducated common folks. You see, Satan is real, and he is a liar. You see, false religions of the world are under the control and have sprung up from his lies and deception. Even though he was cast out of heaven, he still seeks to elevate his throne above God. He counterfeits all that God does, making bad look good and good look bad, hoping to gain worship of the world and encourage opposition to God's kingdom. You know, he even tried to tempt Jesus after Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He told him, he said, here, I'm going to give you some bread. And you know, he knew Jesus was hungry. You see, that's sometimes how he get us when we weak, you know, when we undernourished and when, you know, our head is bowed down and we are wilding in our own mess and we just don't see no way out. And, you know, he come to us, you know, and he tell us something. And if he did it to Jesus, you know he going to do it to you. He told Jesus, he said, take this bread. He said, I'm going to give you this kingdom. And you see, what Jesus did is what we must do when we are approached by Satan. I ain't say if we approach, when we approach daily in our lives, and some of us, is more and more and more times a day than others. Because you see, Satan can only operate in your head, and he puts a thought there. So that's why you have to, you know, you have to protect your thoughts. You know what I'm saying? You have to conform your mind, because that's where Satan dwells. And let me tell you, if Satan had more power, I hope you can see that he does have limited power. But if he had more power, let's just imagine, none of us would be here, because he would have been wiped us out. He would have wiped us out before we got saved, then we could have been one of his. You know, and I tell him all the time, if you ain't get me, you know, back then, you know, it's a slim chance there is no chance in hell you're going to get me now. You see, Satan is the ultimate source behind every false cult and religion. Satan will do anything and everything in his limited power to oppose God and those who follow him. However, Revelation states Satan's destiny is sealed. you got just, you know, the Revelation say his destiny is sealed, but Revelation also lets us know our destiny is sealed. If we accept Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior, God sealed us with the Holy Ghost. And we have eternal life with God. And Satan's destiny is sealed as well, and eternity in the lake of fire. See, after saying all of that, for some people who just really just don't, might not have, that Satan do have this power, this is not to say that he rules the world completely. God is still sovereign. But it does mean that God, now watch this. It does mean that God, in his ultimate, infinite wisdom, has allowed Satan to operate in this world within the boundaries that God has set for him. Come on now. You remember when Satan was tempting Job and he told God, you ain't got nobody, that's all for you because you're taking care of them. That's why they're loving on you. And God told him, you know, check my servant Job out. You know, and Satan said, can I do this and this and this and this? And after Satan had did the first set of things and Job just didn't crash and denounce God, and, you know, Job, Satan went back to him and asked God, can he this and that? God said, but don't kill him. You see, he kept going back to God for permission to have his way with Satan some more, to have his way with Job some more. The Bible says Satan had power over the world. We must remember that God has given him domain complete, well, I ain't going to say completely, but at least over unbelievers. And the believers, we, the believers, the Christians, are no longer under the rule of Satan. You see, Colossians 1 and 13 says, unbelievers, I'm giving y'all scripture now, unbelievers, on the other hand, are caught in the snares of the devil. 2 Timothy 2 and 26. Satan sets the agenda. The unbelieving world follows. Can y'all see the way the world is going on? Look what ISIS did. You know, we could be in New Orleans right now, and they could have a Saints game at the Superdome, and ISIS could come up in there and shoot it all up. They did it in Paris. You see, we live in a sin-sick world, and it's getting sicker and sicker by the day. And we have to live here until God decides to call us home. But it's not so much how sick the world is, because we can't control that. But what we can do is build ourselves up in the Word of God, build ourselves up with one another, build ourselves up so that no matter what comes our way, it won't matter what comes our way, but the resources, it's not going to matter what comes our way, but who we go through it with. And you got to realize plenty of times you feel like you're going through. You're not going through. God is taking you to somewhere else. But you got to know it. And you'll never know until you begin to grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, the more you grow, the more you mature, the more you increase your faith, the more you can stand, the more you know who you are. Because I tell you all the time, you'll never know who you are until you know who your Maker is. And then you see, you start getting strength and you start having power. Little bit of growing have little bit of power. Come on now. And how far and fast you get there in the Word and the things of God, it is determined by you. Not your mama, not your daddy, not your preacher, it's determined by you. Because whatever you feed, that's what's going to grow. Satan set the agenda. The unbelieving word follow. And man continues to be deceived. You know, everybody out there doing this and doing this for greed, they ain't doing all this greed stuff because they figure they're going to get caught. Satan told them he got them. And it's a funny thing when you're dealing with Satan. You walk with Satan, he talk with you, he puff you up, he make you feel good, he gives you that false sense of who you are, and he does all of that. But when you get busted, or when the rubber meets the road, Satan goes on to the next one. And you have to remember that sin always promise more than it can deliver. Because sin is not dealing with truth. And Satan is not dealing with truth. Satan come with you with a bag full of lies. It is no wonder why the scriptures say that Satan is a liar. We're going to go into the scriptures tonight at this time. I'm going to read the fourth and the fifth verse. And it says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants of Jesus' sake. Paul is the writer of 2 Corinthians, and, you know, when these churches was established after the day of Pentecost, people went back to their homes, and they established these churches. You got to remember, they didn't have a Bible where they could just, you know, just study the scriptures. They were going to the synagogue, and one person would be teaching, and he would be reading the scrolls. So after these churches got started, you know, they got off on a good foot because, you know, the Bible teaches us that sometimes we have a zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. And you got to remember that the false teachers and the false preachers and the false the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, and the Sanhedrins, all of them had their own ideas. So you see, it start getting scrambled up, and people start swaying away from it. And Paul wrote this to get them back on track. So when you see this reading, realize that Paul wrote this to the Corinthians because there was some error going on in the church. And if I read the fourth verse again, they say, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of God, who is the image of God, of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, the gospel is open and revealed to everyone, but not everyone will receive it because Satan has deceived them. I think it was a couple of weeks ago when we was talking about God turning people over to a reprobated mind. You know, they Satan and deceived them. They done took his deception as reality, and they taken it and not accepted that truth, and it seemed like there's no turning around for them. But I come to tell you tonight, there's no right way to do wrong. You know, we know what the Word of God said with some things in our lives, and yet we kind of do them a little bit different. And you got to be careful that you don't start justifying and changing and taking out of what the Scripture is saying to make it fit you for what you want to do. You see, the Scripture let us know that Satan is the god of this world, and the Scripture also talks about he has blinded the minds of those who don't believe Christ. You see, man cannot work to earn God's favor. Eternal life is a free gift. You know, what they start saying that you need to be circumcised and you need to do this and you need to do that, they start saying that in the church. And today we have churches that say that because they don't believe that you're saved by grace but by works and deeds. So that's false teaching. Hey, if you believe that Jesus paid the price, all to him we owe, and it was really finished. You have to know these things, and you got to be ready to stand on a confession of your faith. you know, when things come up like that. And then you have to know what the Word of God says for yourself. You see, and that free gift is available through Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. You may ask why mankind does not simply receive the free gift of salvation. People ask that all the time. And the answer is that Satan, the god of this world, has tempted mankind to follow his pride instead. Anything goes. And everything goes. People act like they're afforded the privilege to make it up as they go. And some of them have the audacity to say that they're Christians or they're following Christ. You see, the church was questioning Paul at this time. Paul, who wrote this book, was letting the people know that he didn't come to preach himself. See, right there in 5th, he said, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your servants of Jesus Christ." Paul said, "I didn't come here to talk about Paul. I didn't come to preach about Paul, but I'm bringing you the message of Jesus Christ." You see, when you witness to someone, excuse, and witnessing is so important. We're living in the last days. God gave us a command. You know, when they asked him what was the better command of the Ten Commandments, he said, they asked Jesus. Jesus said that was the law given to Moses. He said, "But I tell you, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your might, and love your neighbors as yourself." That was the two commandments that Jesus gave. But there's also a call on our life, which is the call of God, and that is to witness. You see, God said he will not allow Jesus to come back again until everyone has had the chance to hear the gospel. And he also said it is his desire that all sorts of men be saved. And he also said because he adopted us and we his children, he want us to share the good news. But when you do it, you should tell people about what Christ has done. And don't start telling them about yourself, your abilities, or your compliments. Your accomplishments. You should be introducing people to Christ, not to you. You see, time is running out, and if we look at Satan's work, which is all around us, and who he truly is, we must answer the call of God to share the gospel. You know how Satan is pumping up the volume in this world, and we got all these boys and girls on the street, you know somebody in your neighborhood, you know somebody in your house, you know one of your relatives, and you don't take and share them the word, don't share the word with them, and Satan is on the other side. See, Satan is consistent. Satan do not allow no will to be unturned. Satan have no respect to person. Satan will tempt any and everybody, and he's still trying to get them to accept his perception. You see, we are all responsible to witness the goodness of God. Satan is busy and always looking for ways to take you down and get you to believe his lies. Yes, Satan is real, and yes, he is a liar. Remember, Satan always promises more than it can deliver. You can get away with it, it tells you. Oh, I'll make you bigger than life. That's how people get the God syndrome. Satan done pumped them up so bad. Or God is not concerned with this or that. That's what he get a lot of Christians with. A lot of people who accepted Christ and say, "Oh, no, God and the church can't save you." No, it can't, but God, Jesus established the church. So if he did it, he had a reason. And not all churches are good churches, are the best church. But God has established enough churches where you could find one and be comfortable. Remember that, you know, we're not perfect people. So the church ain't going to be a perfect place. People get it mixed up and they say, "Well, that's a church." We are the church. God said, "That's the church building. We are the church and we make mistakes." So those same people in a church building is the ones that make mistakes. So when they gather in a church building, everything ain't going to be perfect. And you got to remember, the devil is a liar. He's saying Jesus is not the only way. And that's what they was having in the church. It began to have false teaching. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. Paul told them that. This is why we have to study the word of God for ourselves. How will we know what is the truth? That's why plenty of people are easily misled. They don't have precept upon precept or knowledge or study, you know, scripture and compound the scripture on top of the scripture. They open their books maybe once a day, they read a verse, and they go their way. In the Bible, when you read something, meditate on it, the Holy Ghost is going to meet you and illuminate it. You see, Paul was serving a Corinthian church, even though the people who was in the church at this time, they deeply disappointed him. You see, but Paul knew serving others require a sacrifice of time, and it sometimes take away your personal desires. It don't allow you to do all of your personal desires because you're putting God first. We must serve even when they do not measure up to our expectations. Don't stop or think that someone is a lost cause, because God can save everyone. If this was not so, Jesus' death would be in vain. Everybody have a chance to be saved. And God gave his word out for everyone, as I started off with. Remember, but in your witnessing and your strong desire that your maybe your children or your brothers or sisters or even your parents or your neighbors or your co-workers, remember this. It is not your job to save them. You are not a savior. It is not your job to make them get saved or to force them into being saved. But it is not your job. Jesus is the savior. But your job is just to tell them about somebody who can save everybody. And if we look at the 6th verse and the 7th verse, they say, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's sweet, huh? But we have this treasure in earthly vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You see, the supremely valuable message of salvation is in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. I can't say that enough, because I have people who accepted Christ a long time ago and they believe they were saved, and they believe because, you know, they might not be doing everything right that they lose their salvation, and they're working hard to try to gain their salvation back. Every day is a struggle. If God wanted us to struggle with our salvation, he could have left the laws in place. He could have had us bringing bulls and goats to the Superdome to be burnt up. And the reason I say the Superdome, because there's so much sin, there's no church in the city that would be able to house the priest to take the sacrifices. If he wanted you to struggle and guess about your salvation once you truly accepted Christ as your Savior, which is your rest, when you did that, he wanted you to enter into rest. But you see, you trying to work good enough. And if you work good enough today and by the night you stumble, you got to start working good enough again. And I'm not giving you a license to sin, because God forbid. But you're not working to be saved, but because Christ has saved you, you should want to work. You see, Satan told you that. You got to sick after you got your salvation. You got to do this. You got to do this. You see, he take everything that God has and try to flip it on the left side. And you got to do this. You're not saved, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. If God wanted us to struggle in our salvation and not have rest, he could have left the 635 laws in place and the sacrificing of the animals. But God, when he sent his son, he said, I'm doing a new thing. You see, but we don't even understand the new thing because, you see, we're so stuck in maybe the old thing. But he talks about this treasure in a vessel. What God is saying, what this scripture is saying, we have this treasure in an earthly vessel. You see, we are the treasure. God looks us at his divine treasures. But we in our earthly vessel, and it's made of clay. If you're going to study this, you could go to the study on the jaws of clay. What he's saying, we are a valuable treasure, but we enclosed in clay. We was all made from the dust. You see, God has taken us out of darkness into the marvelous light because that's the way he planned it, not by our doing, but the glory of God. And he said he don't want nobody boasting. See, God don't let you do too much because you're going to talk too much. And when you talk too much, you're taking the glory away from him. You see, God calls us treasures and vessels, an earthly vessel. He wants us to know how frail and fallible we are. God knows our weakness. It describes us as treasure in an earthly vessel, and that vessel is made of clay. We were made from the dust of the earth. Clay is brittle and is easily cracked. It breaks and it can be destroyed. But if we look at Isaiah 64:8, it says, but now, O Lord, you are our Father, and we are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the works of your hand. What is saying? God said, you're a vessel. You're a treasure in an earthly vessel. He said, but you're my treasure. So what he's saying? Let me be the potter, and you learn how to be the clay. You see, you have to learn how to become clay. You see, a potter molds his clay. He holds his clay. He shapes it and works it until it reaches its intended purpose. You see, that's what God is doing in our lives. That's why we could say God is the potter and I am the clay. Or either God is the shepherd and I am the sheep. That's analogies. But it's real, and God provided the evidence. That is what God is doing in our lives by the power he has given the Holy Spirit, which lives within. But we must cooperate. The devil is a liar and is always looking for ways to make you stray. You see, Christians are no longer under the control of Satan, but he is a tempter and is speaking in our ear to believe his lies, even us Christians. He's not letting you go. And if we look at verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And 10 says, always bearing about in the body the dying of Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifested in our body. Come on now. Jesus living in us through the Holy Ghost. We which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, and the life also of Jesus might be made manifested in our mortal flesh. And 12 say, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. Paul is letting us know that even sometime this life will make us feel we are at the end of our ropes. We are never at the end of our rope. We are always, and we are never at the end of our ropes, and we are never at the end of our hope, because Christ Jesus is our hope, and he's complete, and he's enough. He's saying that our perishable bodies are subject to sin and suffering, but God will never abandon us. No matter what you're going through, God is right there with you. The Bible says that God will never leave you or forsake you. The Bible talks about this as God being our present help. How could something be always present if it's not with you? You see, our hope and blessings, blessed assurance, is because Jesus has won the victory over death and we have eternal life. Our victory has been established, making Satan an even greater liar. Remember, Christ is working in and through us for our good and his glory. There's nothing that can happen to you that God can't handle. And you remember this, you know, because sometimes something is going on in our life and we think we're the only one. God said there's nothing that is common to man that will, there's nothing that can happen to you that is not common to man. And nothing takes him by surprise. Hold on to the confession of your faith. In every trial, situation, setback, setups, letdowns, knockdowns, and mistreatment. If you take back and look at all of those adversities, trials, and tribulations in your lives and the lives of others, you will see that God is able and he hasn't failed because you're still here. You see, Satan is in control of the world and the unbelieving people, the world system, and even try to play tricks on the mind of the believers. Remember, he is a tempter. God doesn't tempt, but he will test. So when opposition, slander, or disappointment threaten to rob you, remember that no one can destroy what God has accomplished in and through you by the power of his Son. And if we look at 13, 14, and 15, 16, 17, and 18, we have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written. This is Paul saying. He said, I believe it. I believe the scripture, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. He said, if you believe it, speak it, achieve it. 14, knowing that which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us to you. For the things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. Don't quit. Just like that record said, don't give up. And 17 say, for the light afflictions, which is but for a moment. You know, they teach saying right there, hold on, trouble don't last always. Joy coming in the morning. He said, work for us a far excellent, a far exceedingly, an eternal weight in glory. He said, what happened on this side cannot compare to what we're going to. Stop looking at this as the end of all means. Stop looking at this as if it's the end of the world and there's nothing worse that can't happen. If you keep living, whatever you're going through, if you look, and I use this all the time, if you look at the worst time of your life, the worst situation in your life, it could have been 5 years ago, 10, you got over that. So what make you think you're not going to get over the next one and the next one? God has given us the spirit of faith, as the Bible lets us know, it's the Holy Ghost. Paul is saying because he believed, he's speaking, and we should do the same. Just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will raise us also at his appointed time. All things are for our sake, and grace with thanksgiving will bring us to God. Once we receive Christ, we receive the Holy Ghost in our lives with all his gifts working in and through us for our good. Remember this, the race is not given to the swift, but those who endure it to the end. These scriptures let us know that we should not faint. Even though our outward man is going to perish, our inward man is renewed day by day. See, you have to learn how to renew yourself. You have to learn how to go before God and say, forgive me for what I did. Teach me for what I need to know.
within me so I know where to go. That's the renewing of yourself. If you do that with a committed heart now and a committed spirit, you will be renewed day by day. And you got to remember that your reward is waiting for you in eternity. So you got to hold on. And you remember, it's never over till God says it's over. And if we look at verse number 18, it says, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are always temporal, but the things which are not seen is eternal. Satan can't or will never give you eternal insight. He ain't trying to help you get to Jesus because he wants you to receive his perception as truth. But you got to remember, Satan is a liar. You see, Satan used the temporal things of this world to seem like that is all that there is. He's a liar. And you know it's true because, you see, when he tell them to be greedy and they go and they start cheating, lying, and stealing our politicians and all of that, he used the things of this world, making them think that they don't have to be concerned with their afterlife or if there's really one. Remember, he's a liar. You see, the world in the Bible is described as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the lust of pride. And these are things that he uses. Come on now. Think about it. Your flesh is craving fleshly things. Your eyes is maybe looking at things they shouldn't. And because who you think you are, you full of pride. That's the world's value. That's the world system. That's what Satan teaches. And let me just tell you, each and every time, it's going to let you down. And these are the things he uses and controls and have control with limited power, the people in this world. You see, people has brought themselves on doing anything and everything any kind of way that they want, believing they're afforded the privilege to make it up as they go. But I'm telling you now, this world is going to hell in a handbasket. And I suggest that you make sure you're not one in the basket. You can't participate in everything, and everything ain't for everybody. And you shouldn't want to, you know. And as I close, we don't need faith for the things we can see. But the things which are not seen are eternal. If you could see something, you don't need no faith. If you see a chick, you ain't got to have faith to see if the chick could come. You see, faith is when you have faith, you have faith in things you cannot see. But the things which are seen are not seen. Let me back up. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. If you can see it, you don't need faith. And you see, that's why God so loved the world. For those who accept him, he be calling them his children. Because you see, Jesus said, you know, when he walked the earth, and God said when he parted the Red Sea, he said those people were able to see that. You see, we just have to believe it. We have to believe the word of God. He said, how much more of a vessel, how much more of a treasure are you to me that you haven't seen and yet you believe? All the things of this world will pass away. And remember this, only what you do for Christ will last. So I'm urging you tonight to set your sights on things above
because this world doesn't love nobody. And please remember, the devil is a liar. It is now 9:30. That's our lesson to the night. But I would love to hear from someone if you want to make a comment or anything like that. And by being 9:30, if nobody would like to make a comment, what I'll do is go ahead on and do the benediction prayer. You know, we have to remember who we are in Christ Jesus. And as Christians, Satan will talk in our ear. But you see, let me just tell you the difference. See, you working with something. You know, you studying the Word of God. You going to Bible study. You going to Sunday school. You gathering in church. You have surrounded yourself, hopefully, with some Christian friends. So you see, the Word of God is always in you, building you up day by day. So Satan come to you. You know, you could say, ain't no way. You know, you're going to have the tools to fight them out. Now, remember, the lust of the flesh. This flesh is going to crave for fleshly things until we die. And, yeah, sometimes we do answer the call. But when you do, if you do something wrong, you're asking for forgiveness. If you know something needs to be out your life, you fighting it to get out your life. That's the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. They're just going around in their daily thing, doing whatever seems it right in their eyes. So when Satan start pumping something to them, they ain't got nothing to be able to evaluate it with. They ain't got nothing to do to strategize it with. And he make it sound so good, and he camouflage it so well. And he even, like the people, them suicide bombers, what they say when they're doing it, they're helping God. That's how much he's distorted their mind. So you can see that it is real. And Satan is the ruler of this world and the prince of the air. But God is still in control. And Satan, God allows Satan to have some reign. Why? We might learn by and by. But it's just what it is. And you have to be ready. And you have to be willing. And you have to be committed. And you have to say, Satan, you know, not today. You know, sometimes it could be something simple. Somebody at work tell you something and you don't like it, and you buck up against them in a harsh voice. Whereas, you know, someone can come to you and you know you're right. And it's not what you say is wrong, but sometimes it's just the manner in which you say it. That's Satan riling up in your flesh. But I'm not going to hold us because it's 9:30, and I promise 9:30 is 9:34. So since no one has pressed the button, I'm going to go ahead on and do the benediction. And after that, I'll play some music because people have requested. They just like to stay on the phone and listen to music. And I'm going to go ahead and do the benediction for those who need to leave or would like to leave, would have stayed to the end of the program, because there's blessing in benedictions. Remember that. So dear Lord God, here it is once more again. You have allowed us to fellowship in your word. You have allowed us to come together to be with one another, dear God. And for that, I say thank you. Thank you for your word, dear God, which is our daily instruction for our daily living. And dear Lord God, I just want to thank you that you're working in and through us, dear God, that we may grow in grace and the knowledge of you. Heavenly Father, build a fence, teach us how to build a fence around us, dear God. Teach us, dear God, how to stand up for what is right in this sin-sick world. Let us let our light so shine that men can see the good work and glorify the Father. Heavenly Father, touch each and every one of us that we may be an example, that we may be a light to a dim world. Instruct us, dear God. Teach us how to be the clay, dear God, and mold us into what you will want us to be. Guide us, dear God. Lord, I pray that we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is leading us, trying to lead us and guide us in the way we should go, but sometimes we just don't cooperate. Strengthen us, Lord, where we weak. Build us up where we toned down. help our health, dear God, because you say that you, by your stripes, we are healed. Touch our finances, dear God, because you say you own everything and everything belongs to you. And what would more would a good father do for his children? If an earthly father, you said in your word, dear God, would give good things to their children, what more would you want us to have? Teach us, dear God, how to love one another, dear God. Teach us how to bring our families closer together, dear God. Let us realize that all of them might not be right and everything is not on maybe speaking terms, dear God. But let us know in your word that, you know, that's the family you put us with, dear God. We didn't get to pick our family and our family didn't get to pick us. But, God, I trust you. All knowing that you knew that that was best. And that's what you established for us, dear God. And that's what we have. Let us love on our family, dear God. Let us love on our children and our grandchildren, dear God. Let us love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And then we will be answering the call of God. Lord, I love you so much tonight, and I ask that you look down upon every listener. Hallelujah, dear God. Bless everyone that took time and called, dear God, and let your word not return void, dear God. Lord, I pray and I thank you for each and every one of you. Lord, all these blessings and others, I ask in Jesus' name for all of our sakes. Amen and thank God. I want you to know that that's the end of the program. I'm going to play some music. I'm going to play one song, and when the song is over, I'll come back. If there's anyone who would like to make statements even after the record is on, you could press the one button and you could do so. I love each and every one of you so much. Y'all just can't even imagine how thankful I am that God allowed me to do this on Mondays and you guys keep showing up. Be blessed. I'm going to play the song.
So good to make it this far, and I didn't think I could take it so long. There were days I wanted to quit, and I said, surely this is it, but I held on. And I've watched as so-called friends turn and walked away, and it hurt so much I didn't have words to say. But even when my day turns to night and nothing seems just right, Lord, I thank you for my life, for my life. Lord, I thank you for every victory in you I've seen, and all the moments I know, Lord, it was you who kept me. So I thank you for my life. And I've watched you take my family from there to here. And when times were a little rough, God, I know you were near. Thank you, Jesus. And the moments I thought I'd fail, I was reminded of your nails. So I held on.
Hallelujah.
And if I never live to see another day, there's nothing I would change or take away. I've had so many ups that they far outweigh my downs. Lord, I thank you for my life. For my life.
Is dedicated to Pauline Scott. And that's our record, that's our program for the night. I just want you to know that God loves you and so do I. And if it's the Lord's will, we'll meet back on next Wednesday, same time and same station. And if there's anything that you guys would like me to speak on or talk on, if you press the one button and you give me a topic or a scripture, we could use that for our lessons. But until Wednesday, until we meet again, and if God says the same, I'll be back with you and hope you be with me. God loves you, so do I. And that's our program for tonight. Good night, everybody. Be safe and continue to hold on a confession of your faith. And remember this, the devil is a liar. Good night.